Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, my guest today likes to walk, not just to the mailbox, not just down the block, but around an entire city. Dr. Roy Meals, a clinical professor of orthopedic surgery at UCLA and author of several books, has walked the 342-mile perimeter of Los Angeles in 10-mile segments. He talked with people he encounters, and he explored local points of interest. And that struck me as a great idea for anyone to do, and he's here to talk about his experiences. For everything about Roy Meals and to follow his adventures, go to lacitylimits.info, lacitylimits.info, and you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And Roy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
I was delighted to read about your adventures because I thought, who ever thought about that before, walking around the perimeter of a city, let alone a block? So most of us are so tired and fatigued and lazy that we don't want to even go around the block. But you're walking around in 10-mile segments around the entire city of Los Angeles. How did you get the idea?
Well, I've always enjoyed being outside, and I've walked across the Grand Canyon twice, and I've climbed Kilimanjaro, and always looking for something fun to do outside. And then several years ago in the newspaper, there was an account of two young men who had walked across LA in one day, but they'd walked about 40 miles. And their goal was a destination more than a journey. They just wanted to get finished. But that made me starting thinking about, well, there will be some journeys in LA and some interesting places to stop. And so then when I looked at the outline of Los Angeles City on a map, I said, my, that is so convoluted and distorted. There's a lot of stories around there. I just have to do it.
So when you prepared for this, clearly there is some preparation. You can't just start walking for 10 miles each time. And I want to get to the logistics of it too. But in terms of preparation, obviously there are certain things you had to have: water, phone, a little bit of food, although you're obviously going to stop along the way. That was part of the journey. But what were some of the preparations that you put together?
Well, I started walking more to make sure my feet and shoes and everything were in good shape. And then I had a day pack, and I decided to walk with walking poles. I'd done these on some of my wilderness hikes previously, and that they just improve balance and, you know, get a little bit of upper limb exercise in the course of it. I usually, when I'm outside, I wear a brimmed hat, but I talked to my wife about that, and she thought that I would be more approachable and if I wore a baseball cap. So I got a baseball cap that says Los Angeles on it. And then to be approachable, I decided not to wear sunglasses or earbuds so that it looked like I was ready to talk to people. And then a couple of protein bars and a Camelback a bladder of water in my backpack with a tube coming around so I could sip on water whenever I wanted to. A windbreaker, I think even an umbrella, and certainly my cell phone. I have taken over 2,000 pictures and video clips on my cell phone. So that was all. I guess the major part of the preparation was just the study to expand maps on the internet. And when you blow them up enough, then you can begin to see individual properties, and they'll identify them as possible points of interest for me to stop. Mm-hmm. I looked at a lot of different lists and books. There was one called Best of 101 Places in Los Angeles That You Must Not Miss, and other books like that, and then had to go through them and determine which of those potential points of interest were within a mile inside the city limit. That's what I set my limit as. Nothing outside the city limit. If it was 3 feet outside the city limit, not on this trip. Gotcha. And then
but a mile within, no more than a mile within.
A mile within, and that bummed me in some regards because it looked like there were some really interesting places that were 2 or 3 miles in. But that'll be for another trip. I was able by that means I was able to identify over 200 potential stops, and then to try to put them in somewhat of a linear order and try to figure out what day of the week would be the best to walk that segment in terms of having most of these sites open. That was a real brain twister, and I spent several months trying and beginning to assemble my preliminary route and days of the week that I would do this. Mm-hmm.
Given today's world, was there any consideration in terms of safety or security precautions?
Well, everybody asks me that, and people, when I tell them this, sometimes the response is, are you going to have a taser, or are you going to take a Glock with you? And but the L.A. has become much more civilized in the last 10 or 20 years, and that we certainly have bad memories of the turmoil at the time of the Watts riots, which was in the 1960s, and then the Rodney King riots, which I believe was 1994. And those areas have a terrible reputation. And my wife was quite concerned about this. And so I first drove those areas, and they looked working class neighborhoods to me. I did talk to a police officer in that area and asked him what he thought about an older white man walking through, and he said, well, you will stand out. And then he wisely advised me to walk during a school day, during school hours, and of course, stay on main streets and do it all in daylight, and then not wear any bling, no fancy camera, no fancy watches or anything. Right. And with that, I felt fine. But to placate my wife, I have found a walking partner to walk some of those segments with me. She was a former scrub tech in the surgery center where I used to operate. And the scrub techs have to put up with all sorts of BS from the surgeons and not talk back. And so they're very good at managing stress. And before I had, and she told me that she liked to hike in retirement. And so before I finished describing what I had in mind, she caught wind of what I was implying. And she said, I'm in. So there have been four or five segments that she walked with me, and we've had a good time, and really haven't encountered anything that I would be at all nervous about.
I was thinking more, you indicated some of the history of the riots, et cetera, but I was thinking more on, along the lines of homeless people or drug people that are out on the streets that might accost you, that type of thing.
They're all over Los Angeles. They're not located in any one particular area. And no, that was never a problem. Mm-hmm. We'd speak to them and walk on by, and they, you know, mind on their own business basically. And
right. I was also, it's funny, you were talking about changing out to a baseball hat and not sunglasses. And all I'm thinking of is, okay, he's going to go against the advice of his dermatologist by not wearing a wide-brimmed hat and wearing sunglasses and not wearing, you know, maybe you wore sunblock, but
lots of sunblock.
Yeah, I would think so. What was the, I know it's hard to narrow it down, but if you had to pick one person and one location that really had an impact on you, not from necessarily curiosity alone, but from an emotional component, or something that really expanded your understanding of something, or cleared up a misunderstanding you had?
Well, the person that stands out, and that I guess the really exciting thing about this adventure, you know, an adventure should be a discovery. You know, there's going to be some bumps in the road, and certainly I took some long turns, and despite the GPS on my phone, there were several times I walked a mile in the wrong direction before I realized I was headed the wrong way. And, you know, it was disappointing at times to walk by a site that I had previously identified and then discover that it was closed that day. Actually, there was one one-room schoolhouse that I was looking forward to seeing. And I got up on the school property and asked the gardener where the schoolhouse was, and he said, "Oh, it was torn down a month ago." And so there were some disappointments like that. But the real thrills were coming across points of interest that I had not previously been aware of, and you know, just stumbled on them by serendipity. And the one man who comes to mind in that regard is Hiram Sims. This was out down in South LA, and mostly black neighborhood, working class neighborhood. And I was walking along, and here's this blue box. It looks like it's about a two room box set back from the street a little bit. And across the front of it, it says Sims Library of Poetry. And I said, "Well, that's interesting. I hadn't heard about that at all." And then there was a bit of a side yard, and there were a couple of people there in the side yard. So I walked in and introduced myself, and he introduced himself as Hiram Sims, and that he has a degree in English from the University of Southern California, and then began teaching poetry. But that his students complained that they couldn't find any anthologies of poetry in the library. So he began collecting these anthologies and taking them to class in a roller suitcase. And his library soon expanded beyond the volume of a suitcase. And so he put up shelves in his garage, and people started giving him volumes. And so then that expanded into this two-room little house that is devoted to poetry. He has over 10,000 volumes of poetry in there. He has a small back room where people can come in and be quiet and write poetry. He has poetry readings every early Saturday evenings. I'd like to go back for one of those. But that here's a man who has really made something unique and made a real contribution to his neighborhood and to greater Los Angeles. And so I was very pleased to make his acquaintance.
See, about Sims in particular, has a little bit more popularity now due to your walking into his life. Is it positive or negative?
No, I mean, I've told a number of people about that and said, "Oh, that sounds really interesting." And so I may gather a carload of people and go down for a reading on a Saturday afternoon. The other question you ask about one point that might have struck me emotionally, this surprised me, but it was Campo de Coinga, which is out in the San Fernando Valley. And this was a rancho from early 19th century, and the adobe house that was built on it. It actually served as a meeting place for Lieutenant Colonel Fremont, representing the Americans, and Andre Pico, who was representing the Mexican government. And this was in 1847. And the Mexicans and Americans had been scrapping in Southern California over possession, and Pico realized that his forces were outnumbered and that they signed a agreement of peace at this Campo de Coinga. And then a year later, this led to the U.S. Signing a peace agreement at Guadalupe Hidalgo, which always I remember that name from high school history, mm-hmm. but that was the treaty at the end of the Mexican-American War that ceded all of California and most of Nevada and parts of Arizona and Colorado, but I mean a huge portion of North America ceded that to the United States. And that for the first time met the manifest destiny of this desire for the United States to reach from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. And so I'm getting a few goosebumps right now because, I mean, that was a seminal point in American history that really changed the shape of the United States and really, changed our destiny. Mm-hmm. And it was right there at Campo de Coinga. Now, interestingly, the only part of the campo that exists presently is some foundation remnants. And these were rather minor and overlooked, and I think actually were lost in terms of where their actual location was for for decades. But then in the course of excavating for a metro stop adjacent, is that they came across these foundation remnants, and the archaeologists identified them as being the Campo de Cahuenga. So then there was the issue about, were we going to preserve these foundation remnants and have to close a major six-lane street? Or was the street going to take precedence over this remarkable tidbit of history? So there was a nice compromise in that the remnants of the foundation are fully visible within the enclosure of this present historic site. But then as the foundation extends out onto the sidewalk and across the street, the location of these foundation remnants are marked with special pavers. A driver driving by would not notice them at all, but that if you're standing on the sidewalk, then you can get a vision of the layout of the original adobe building. And so I think of all the places as I was writing about this recently, it struck me that I had an emotional connection to the development of the United States as was really started by this peace accord in California.
When you start your walk, I'm going to go back to the logistical aspect for a second, because you're plotting out these 10-mile segments. So for each segment, I assume you drive to that starting point, and then you walk the 10 miles, and then you come back to that, or does somebody pick you up? If you
A combination of a lot of things. For instance, there was one section where I wanted to end the day at an escape room. And so I invited four or five friends to meet me at the end of the day. And so we escaped from this psychopathic killer in the escape room. And so I rode the bus out that morning, took my walk, and then had a ride home. One of these same people is a hardcore foodie. And I found a Philippine street food restaurant and persuaded him and his wife to come with me to have some Filipino street food at the end of the day. And so I must have ridden the bus down there that day and walked, and then they took me home. On other days, I would ride the bus out and walk, and then maybe ride the bus home or take an Uber home. There were times I would drive the car and then walk, and then take the bus back to the car and bring it home. So it was a combination of ways that I got around.
Boy, I wish I knew you at that time. I would have gone with you on a couple of those segments, even though I don't live in Los Angeles. But it's just fascinating the way you map that out. In fact, at the end of our conversation here, I'm going to suggest an idea for you for your next adventure. But I'll hold it till we get closer to the end. I think you'll appreciate it, because it doesn't require any moving on your part. You're still in the same area, but you'll get to where I'm going in a second.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so I like the idea that you are experiencing all these adventures, people, places, things, and at the same time, you're documenting it in a way by writing about it. You're shooting video, photos, etc. Does that somewhat, when you take pictures and video, does that somewhat remove you from the in-the-moment experience that you have? Or are you kind of mixing it up? Because sometimes when we're so busy taking pictures or video, as people do today, you lose the immediate sense of now.
I don't think so. I have always chafed on trips, if we've gone with a group, where people only see the sights through their camera lens, and don't really just stand back and look and lean up and look at the sky or look around and, you know, at that. And so, and that was one of the reasons I didn't carry a better camera, because the ones that I get on the cell phone are going to be fully adequate for my needs for eventually publishing a book about this. And it's rather unobtrusive. And that's an interesting question, but is it? No, it did not remove me from the here and now.
When you decided to do this walk, you probably will go into areas or perhaps English is not the first language. So did you prepare yourself in some way by learning Tagalog or Spanish or Korean, et cetera? How did that work? Or did you just use Google Translate?
That wasn't an issue. I mean, I came across some. Yeah, there were several instances where people didn't speak good English or just didn't want to talk to me and feigned that they didn't speak English. But that in general, I didn't feel like there were any communication barriers.
What was your sense of human nature going out and doing it the way you did it? You're not in any scheduled situation. You're not in a public place where there's a performance. You're out in real life. So did you become positive, negative, or neutral about human nature as you?
Very positive. I mean, particularly in these areas that had sketchy histories, is that people were, mothers were walking their kids home from school and people were mowing their grass and, getting out and going to work. And everybody, with just one or two exceptions, was friendly. And, I'd speak to everybody and I'd get, nice responses back. People, when I told them what I was doing, they'd say, do you need to go to the bathroom? Can I get you a bottle of water? Do you need directions? Really very heartwarming and overwhelmingly positive.
Was there any major disappointment that you had? For example, you did a lot of preparation and planning ahead of time, and you say you wanted to visit a particular building or institution, and you had high hopes for it when you read about it, but then you walked there and it turned out not to be what you thought it would be.
Well, I guess the craziest one was I wanted to see a sanitary landfill. And I just kind of curious about the way things work and curious of when the trash truck comes by my house and takes up my trash, what ultimately happens to it. So the Sunshine Canyon landfill is way out on the northwest corner of the city. It's just within a stone's throw inside the city limits. And so I walked past there one day and the gate and road into there announced the landfill, and there were trucks coming both ways in and out, and it didn't say anything about any foot traffic keeping out. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna walk in there. And I probably walked in there about a mile. And then I asked, there was a worker alongside the road, and I asked him where the headquarters were, and he pointed up a little bit and on a side road. And so I walked up there, and as I turned into the side road, there were several completely explicit signs saying, no unauthorized visitors or anything like that. And I looked at those signs for a minute and I said, they're probably talking to me. And so I turned around and started back. And about that time, a big pickup truck that had so much mud splattered on it. I'm not even sure what color the paint was. But the guy, I told him what I was doing. And he said, you can't do that as a pedestrian. And said, would you like a ride back to the front gate? And I said, oh, sure. And so I chatted him for a while going back. But then thinking about it, I said, okay, well, I could go back with my SUV and, gather up some old furniture and some cardboard and take it up there and drive in. On the internet, it said the only things that I would need would be a hard hat and a reflective vest, and they would sell me those for about $8.50 a piece. And so I said, well, okay, I could get in that way. But then I said, well, that's not really in keeping with my walk.
Right.
And so sometime when I want to explore the edges of LA by car, or I want to write a book about landfills, well, then I'll go back in my car.
I would have thought you would have ignored those signs and kept walking into the main area there of that landfill.
Well, he would have gotten me 20 feet later anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think somebody somebody on the radio had said, "Hey, there's a weirdo, coming in here with walking sticks."
I would call it maybe an unsanitary landfill. I don't think landfills are sanitary at all. But okay, so here's my idea for you. Are you ready for your next adventure?
I am. Yeah, absolutely.
You walked around the periphery of LA City, Los Angeles, which is 342 miles. But how about the fact that there are X number, I forget, I used to know this, but I don't anymore, but there are at least probably 50 cities in Los Angeles County. What about picking individual cities and walking the periphery of the individual cities?
Well, actually, there are 88.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's good.
Plus some unincorporated areas.
Well, think about it.
I'll give that some thought. I've also thought about walking just outside the city limits and, finding things that are interesting a mile outside. LA County is huge. It's not of human scale in terms of walking.
Right, right. No, but you pick individual cities within the county and walk the perimeter of that city. So, for example, Downey or Beverly Hills or whatever city you pick.
Lawrence or anywhere, yeah. I'll keep that in mind. I definitely need something to do. This has been so much fun.
It sounds like it is, and it's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Dr. Roy Meals. He's a clinical professor of orthopedic surgery at UCLA. He's author of several books as well. He walked the 342-mile perimeter of Los Angeles in 10-mile segments. He talked with people he encountered, and he explored local points of interest. And for everything about Roy Meals and to follow his adventures, go to lacitylimits.info. That's lacitylimits.info. And you can follow him and LA City Limits on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And Roy, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Ira.
And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.